Welcome back, holiness. This is a very, very important discussion, sir. You agree with me? Because sure. Holiness is something that catches the attention of all Christians whenever it is mentioned. Holiness, holiness, holiness. And recently we came across a video of a man of God from the United States of America, a very popular man of God, Creflo Dollar. And here is what he has to say about holiness. Let's watch before I ask you my questions. So let's watch the video of Pastor Creflo Dollar.
Okay.
Now listen to me carefully now. Here's the first big radical statement I want to make. Sanctification or holiness is not a conduct. Holiness is not a conduct. In other words, all of our lives we have been told that your conduct, your holiness, holiness means how you carry yourself. Holiness is your conduct. Wrong. Holiness is not conduct. Sanctification is not conduct. And guess what? When you're not behaving right, they'll tell you, you ain't acting holy. That ain't holy. Holiness is not conduct. Well, what is it? Holiness is a person. Did you read the scripture? He says, of him has he been made unto you holy. And you got in him and were holy because of him. Him is holy. I said, him is holy. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying? You've been to religions, done this with everything. You're thinking what you do, your conduct is holy. And not understand, it was not your conduct that makes you holy. It's him. Him is holy. I know we sound like we're in nursing school this month, but him is holy. Him who? Jesus is holy. So sanctification, holiness, it's not a conduct. It's a person. So once you have the person, you have all the things in verse 30. I can remember times in church we talked about the principle without talking about Jesus. And our lives have always been trying to achieve the promise without the one who made the promise. Go to Romans 8:32, similar scripture here, Romans 8:32. Let's read it out loud. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now we do this. We say we freely got all things. No. You missed the big part. With him, you freely get all things. So you can't take him away and tell him, I freely have all things. And I'm going to say that 20 times, and I'm going to get it. No. It's him. It's him. My God, it's him. Calm down, Cref. It's him. It's him, praise God. In him we move. In him, Jesus, we breathe. In him we have our principle. It's just not the principle of the word. It's him that gives birth to the principle. And you can have everything he is and has. Just make sure you have him. I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, church got to quit being so judgmental. They don't realize that everybody that's saved is one him away from hell. One him away from hell. You want to look at what you do and how you do it and how much you do it and all that stuff. Don't, none of that matters. None of that measures up in front of God. It doesn't impress him at all. You can show up with your long, gigantic list of the good things you do. None of it impresses God. Why? Because you're showing up without him. See, when you get to heaven, and if there is a line at the gate, forget about your impressive resume. Make sure you show up with him. Because you ain't getting in unless you got him. You got to make sure when you come there that he don't see you, but he see you in him. Him who? Jesus is his name. Yeah. Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I wish you knew where I was going. But you don't. Let me keep calm. Now, the woman, and it's amazing to me, and I thought about this. The most erroneous teachings about holiness appears to apply to the woman. The error about holiness appears to apply more to the woman than to the man. The way they dress, how they wear their hair, makeup, too much, make you a Jezebel. These are erroneous teachings because, again, we move from holiness being a behavior to holiness being how you dress, how you wear your hair, how much makeup you put on. Seriously, you think God cares about that? You know, the Bible talks about adorning yourself. Adorn means to decorate. You think he cares about how you decorate your tree? Seriously, though, you come to me and ask, well, are you going to go to hell because you got a tattoo? You think he really cares that you like drawing on yourself more than you draw on paper? Seriously? You ain't going to hell because you start drawing on yourself. You're going to hell because what now? You wear too much makeup? What's too much makeup? And really, you're going to hell now because you don't wear a dress when you play baseball? And oh, if you plait your hair, you really think you're going to go to hell because you plait your hair? You really believe that? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3:3. And there are churches that waste time with this. Yeah. While people are dying and going to hell, they waste time with this. They make issues here where there are no issues about that in heaven. Ain't no issue. Man, I start to freak you out and get a tattoo of Jesus on my arm myself and just come in here and just wear a short sleeve shirt and just freak you out. For real? And you want to sit there in judgment on what people wear? So don't come claim me. Rabbi, I think we need to talk to the women, make an announcement about these pants getting just a little bit too tight. Well, won't you get delivered then? Don't judge them for that tight pants because you got a wandering eye. Fix your eye. And the tight pants won't bother you no more. Y'all don't want to hear me. Let me go. Let me go and get back in the word. Let me go and get back in the word. I'm getting too honest. That ain't got nothing to do with nothing concerning holiness. Let me show you where most of that comes from. He was making comparison between inward decoration versus outward decoration. And the only thing he was trying to show you is that God is more interested in how you look on the inside than he is on the outside. But some old boy had a problem with all the stuff I said, and here's what he took out of this scripture. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold. Now, if that's what he meant, then look at the third thing you're not supposed to do. And don't put on no clothes. Aren't you glad you're not misinterpreting that scripture? We have to put the usher's gown on you and walk you on out. That's not what he was talking about. He was saying God is judging your inward adornment and not the outward one. But we put so much stock in the outward adornment that we miss the whole piece here. So now watch this now. I got to read one more, and I think we'll be ready to start preaching. 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16:29, you know you can't build anything without building the foundation. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 29, here's David, and David said something here that just kind of blew my mind when he was talking about let's worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. He says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What does that mean? When we're having praise and worship services, are we worshiping the Lord in the beauty of his holiness or not? I mean, what does that mean? If you think that holiness is all about conduct, are we worshiping the Lord in the beauty of his holiness? You're not seeing everybody's conduct when they come to church. Are you kidding me? So what is he talking about here? Well, let's work our way out of this now and answer some of these questions and look at some of the situations we've put before you. Holiness comes from a word, and it reminds you, it means complete and it means whole. Complete and whole. So now listen to me carefully. If I were to ask you a question based on your past understanding of holiness, I'm wondering how you would answer it, and I want you to answer it sincerely and honestly. What is the opposite of holiness? I didn't ask you to answer it correctly. You already got the answer in your head. Just say it. Sin. Isn't it what you've been taught all your life? That when, if you're not holy, you're sinning. Because nobody talked about holiness until they looked at sin. So the opposite of holiness in religion is sin. That's what they said. So just humor me. I'm going to ask you that question again, and I want you to say sin. Some of y'all just, I don't feel like cooperating. Just tell us. I don't want to go down this road. Well, I'm trying to plant this in your spirit so you can have it forever. Okay, ready? What's the opposite of holiness?
Sin.
Wrong. Wrong. The opposite of holiness, watch this, is being common like everybody else. Commonness is the opposite of holiness. Watch carefully now. To be common, that means that you're sharing alike. To be common means you in the church, just like them who ain't in the church. That's the opposite of holiness. The opposite of holiness is when they sick, you sick. They depressed, you depressed. They broke, you broke. You just like them. That's the opposite of holiness, to be common. So tell me, why would somebody want to come to church and hang around people just like them? And then you try to seduce them to get saved, and they can't see the advantage. Why do I need to get Jesus when you and me just alike, except you believe in Jesus and I don't? We common. You just proclaim Jesus and I don't. But when I'm depressed, you depressed. When I'm worried, you worried. When I'm fighting, you have the same fight. I lost, you lost. Listen to me carefully. So when God says, be holy, what is he saying? He is saying, stand out. When God says, be holy, he's saying, separate yourself from. Why? He says, you're my people.
Wow, this is very interesting. If a follower of Pastor Kumuyi should hear this, he's going to react angrily.
No, even follower Pastor Moses.
Okay,
sir. Even follower Pastor Moses.
Holiness is not a conduct. And the
way followers of, there's one other church, the Holiness
Revival. Yes, sir.
And,
Puerto
and,
Rica.
Yes, and even the Catholic Church. Even the Catholic Church, because even The Pope is called Holy See. Holy See. Yes.
It says so many things. Holiness is not a conduct. He kept saying holiness is a person. And in fact, he went ahead and to say that he can get the tattoo of Jesus to freak out people.
Sanctification or holiness is not a conduct. Holiness is a person. Man, I start to freak you out and get a tattoo of Jesus on my arm myself. Just come in here and just wear a short sleeve shirt and just freak you out.
That's very interesting. So please, sir, we need to understand this. What is holiness? How would you define holiness to the bride of Christ?
You see, every opportunity I have, I like to bring, call to attention, you know, call the attention of the true bride of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Let Christians have this at the back of their mind, that the Lord Jesus Christ made this statement, I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
Always have this at the back of your mind, that the prophecy of what is going on in the church today was prophesied in Genesis 3:15. Mm. That the seed of the serpent shall bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Mm. And the seed of the woman
shall bruise the head. Amen.
That is, the seed of the woman is Christ.
Hallelujah.
And the seed of the serpent, you know,
Antichrist.
It's Antichrist.
Amen and amen.
You know, anything against the teachings of this Bible is Antichrist. Mm. And remember that the serpent also came to Eve with a word.
Wow.
But 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, if you go to verse 4, it lets us know that there is also, if I read it from verse 2.
2 Corinthians
up to verse 4.
11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. Uh-huh. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear.
Now this is where we are going. But I fear.
Lest by any means.
Yes.
As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Uh-huh. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Now. You see now. When he says the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, and this serpent also has a seed. Hmm. You see, so that he then went further. Go, read on.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus.
You saw, because the serpent preached another gospel to Eve, the church.
Whom we have not preached.
Uh-huh.
Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
So, okay. So now, you see, there is another Jesus. Mm. There is another gospel. Mm. And there is another spirit. Mm. Now, until you will understand that these three things are in the church of Jesus Christ, before you can understand the tares that were planted among the wheat in Matthew 13 from verse 24. Now, but I'm not, I'm just for reference.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to note that these characters that preach another gospel, another Jesus,
yes, sir,
they are in the church and holding the Bible.
Wow.
They have been there all this while. And you see, one interesting about the scripture, that's why he said, should study to show thyself approved unto God. He said, a workman that need not to be ashamed. Now, my emphasis is rightly dividing the word of truth. Mm. And that is where you need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
For the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth.
Amen.
And he leads you to all truth.
Amen.
Now, there is the letter of the word. Mm. And there is the spirit of the word. Mm. The letter of the word is intellectual interpretation, understanding, study of the word. That is the letter. But the spirit of the word can only, you know, is that which causes you to understand the mind of God.
Amen.
That is why we have teachers in the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Now you notice that I have been of late, you know, trying to place some of these funny preachers when I brought down verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 16.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 says,
yes.
But shun profane and vain babblings.
Now what this guy is saying is profanity. It is a vain, you can say vain is babbling because what he's saying has no life in it.
For they will increase unto more ungodliness.
Because when you stand and then you begin to argue with people like that, you know, what will it result to? Now, go on.
And the world will eat as doth a canker.
That is verse 17. Now, who are they?
Of whom is Emmanuel and Philetus?
Now, these are mighty preachers in the time of Paul. Mighty preachers with crowd, eloquent, and they were having followership. Now, what did he say? What
who
were they teaching?
Concerning the truth I've heard, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some.
So somebody is teaching that water baptism has expired. So you can understand what I say. No need for communion and all those funny doctrines. What is it? It is only fulfilling 1 Timothy chapter 4.
Yes, sir.
Verse 1.
Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits.
Giving heed to what?
Seducing spirits.
And what?
And doctrines of devils.
What? The next verse?
Speaking lies in hypocrisy.
They speak lies in hypocrisy.
Having their conscience seared with a hot iron.
Is that not what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden? Now, I've tried to place the other one that was saying water baptism has expired already. Now, let me place this other preacher now where he belongs. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Go to Revelation chapter 2, Revelation verse 14. I want us to identify him first before we bring our people back to the word of God.
Verse 14.
Yes.
But I have a few things against thee. Because
that's the Thyatira church age, right?
Pergamos.
Pergamos church age.
Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam.
Eh?
Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam,
uh-huh,
who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication.
Oh, read it again, read it again.
But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam.
That there is the doctrine of Balaam, and what is that doctrine teaching?
Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block?
Cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, God,
to eat things sacrificed unto idols,
and what?
And to commit fornication.
And to commit fornication. Now, and that story is in Numbers 31. We know what happened. Now, and in one day, 24,000 died, and so that you will understand James, because he said to commit fornication. To commit fornication.
Yes, sir.
I think that is James chapter 4, verse 4.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses.
Now you see now, because he said he told him to commit fornication. Let's get the meaning of fornication in the context of the church now.
Ye adulterers and adulteresses.
Uh-huh.
Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
Friendship of the world is adultery. It's fornication.
Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
If you be a friend of the world, you'll be an enemy of God. Now look at Revelation again, chapter 2. That should be Thyatira church age, I think.
Okay.
From verse 19.
Okay, yeah. I know thy works and charity and service and faith. And thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication.
A woman by the name of Jezebel. Now, you know that there is a doctrine of Balaam, but here now, there is a woman that is called Jezebel. It's not the Ahab's Jezebel.
That's right.
It's not the Ahab's Jezebel.
That's right.
It's only using Jezebel to make us understand the spirit that is working now through another woman.
Mm.
Another woman. This time around, it is a church. Mm. It's happening in the church. Okay, let's read on.
Which called herself a prophetess.
Uh-huh. That is a teacher of God's word.
Mm.
Not thus said a lot, not seeing vision. No. In the context here, it's a teacher because a prophecy didn't say it's prophesying. What did he say?
To teach.
Teach.
And to seduce my servants to commit so, fornication.
So, Crayford Dollar is a prophet.
Mm.
And at the end time, there will be false prophets.
Mm.
Okay, so that you understand. Read on. They teach who?
And to seduce my servants to commit
teach
fornication.
And to seduce my servant to commit what?
Fornication.
Fornication now, that's the friendship of the world, to look worldly. Okay, to yoke with the world and to do what?
And to eat things sacrificed to idols.
Okay, go on, please.
And I gave her space to
verse 29.
Repent.
See the story. Uh-huh.
And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, uh-huh. And she repented not.
You see?
Behold,
this is not the Jezebel wife of Ahab.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go on.
Behold, I will cast her into a bed,
uh-huh.
And them that commit adultery with her with into her. Great tribulation.
So there is a tribulation that is coming. Those that commit adultery with her will enter that tribulation.
Except uh-huh. They repent of their deeds.
Uh-huh.
And I will kill her children with death.
Uh-huh.
And all the churches
what will he do?
I will kill her children with
so
death.
So it means she has children. And take note of that. Uh-huh.
And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the heart.
Uh-huh.
And I will give unto every one of you according
listen,
to your
and
works.
All who? Go back
and
to that.
And all the churches.
Okay, so it's not there was no church in the days of Ahab. Okay, so you now know. When they say the church is here, you understand what it means now. Uh-huh. That is her daughters. Go ahead.
Shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and heart.
Uh-huh.
And I'll give unto every one of you according
to your
word.
According to your word, because you know the purpose why you are teaching the nonsense you people are teaching. Go ahead.
But unto you I say, yes. And unto the rest in Thyatira,
uh-huh.
As many as have not...
If you have not this doctrine...
And which have not known the depths of Satan,
uh-huh.
As they speak,
uh-huh.
I will put upon you none other burden.
Uh-huh.
But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come.
Okay, now that is the apostolic faith.
Hallelujah.
That is what the entire message is restoring us back
Amen.
To. Go on.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, mm-hmm. To him will I give power over the nations.
So you see that this thing is in future. Over the nation is in the millennium.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron.
Okay.
As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, uh-huh. Even as I received of my father.
28.
And I will give him the morning star.
Uh-huh.
He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit
says. Who is this Jezebel woman? Is the woman in Revelation chapter 17.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Read it from verse 1 up to verse 6.
And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vows,
uh-huh.
And talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters,
uh-huh.
With whom the kingdom...
What did he call a whore?
The great
a harlot. Uh-huh.
That sitteth upon many waters.
And what are people? Plenty. You know, populations, yes.
With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication.
Okay.
And the habitants...
Can you see the fornication with the world?
Mm.
Okay.
And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
Okay.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness.
This fornication is not sleeping with the women prostitutes up and down in the Nailara street. It's related to
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's spiritual fornication.
Mm,
go ahead.
With the world. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast.
See her description.
Full of names of blasphemy.
See her description.
Having seven heads and 10 horns.
That is her location.
And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color.
Uh-huh. Her appearance now.
And decked with gold.
Of wealth. Wealth. Uh-huh.
And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls.
Uh-huh.
Having a golden cup in
this
her hand.
Organization, or this is a church. Oh. Uh-huh.
Full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication.
Uh-huh.
And upon her forehead was a name written.
See her identification.
Mystery.
You can't understand her.
Babylon the Great.
Idolatry.
The mother of harlots and abominations
worldliness.
Of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints.
Her history.
And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus.
That is her history.
And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
Okay. So that is the Jezebel.
Mm.
And her daughters are the denominations that are broke out from her and then going about the same thing. Have you considered 2 Corinthians verse 13.
Chapter 11, verse 13.
Yes.
For such are false apostles.
False apostles.
Deceitful workers.
Okay, that is such as who? Such as this one that you people don't listen to now.
Transforming themselves into the apostles of
Christ.
There
are many. He's just representative of all of them that preach that type of gospel.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
And you know the interesting thing? The interesting thing there is that there are people that are following them. They love that type of gospel. That's what Apostle Paul was referring to in 2 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 2 to verse 5.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
When they will not endure sound doctrine.
But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves
teachers. We are reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 5. Yes.
After their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
They will do what?
Turn away their ears from the truth.
He said they will not endure sound doctrine, verse 3. They will not endure sound doctrine.
But after their own lust.
It is their own lust.
Shall they heap to themselves
the
teachers,
kind of thing they want to hear.
Having itching ears.
They will gather to themselves such teachers with the itching ears. It excites them.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth.
From the truth that we preach.
And shall be turned unto fables.
Fables. Fables. But what did it say?
Watch thou in all things.
Yes.
Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof.
This is for the ministers.
Hallelujah.
Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and verse 4. Apostle Paul made a statement there.
2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4.
Yes.
For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
They are lost.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not.
And what is the light?
The light of the glorious gospel of Christ,
yes,
who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Now, what is this God of this world? It's money. Is it not all they teach? Is not prosperity. The desire to acquire material things is what is making them attend such churches. It blind them from listening to the truth. That's the truth. So I've got time for you to know that such preachers, they are in the Bible. You know. So take note of that. What's that your question again?
What is holiness? How do you define holiness to the standard of the bride of Christ?
Now, first and foremost, you know, Hebrews 12:14 says,
follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Now, that means holiness establishes relationship with God.
Okay.
So I want you to take note of that. That means holiness establishes
relationship with God. Yes, sir.
Therefore, what is holiness? I would say the first thing I want you to note is that it is a commandment.
Okay.
And because it is a commandment, it means it is something you are to do. Or to be seen doing. And he said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things
that I command you?
This is one of the commandments that enables a relationship with God. Can we read some scriptures?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go to Psalm 29.
Okay.
Psalm 29, verse 2. What does it say?
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name.
What did he say? Give unto the Lord the glory due unto him.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of
holiness. It is a commandment. You are to worship the Lord in the beauty
of holiness.
Of holiness. First Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. He repeated it there.
Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name.
You see, the psalmist was repeating what was spoken.
Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44.
For I am the Lord your God. Uh-huh. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, yes, and ye shall be holy.
Ye is a commandment. Why?
For I am holy.
He said, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Mm. That's the scripture I'm looking for.
Okay.
Okay.
Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Don't defile. Don't defile. Mm. That is why 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Verse 16.
1 Corinthians 3, 16 says.
Yes.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, uh-huh, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Uh-huh. If any man defile the temple of God,
because he is holy, his Spirit is dwelling in you. It's a Holy Spirit that is dwelling in you. You must not defile it. You see, it is a commandment.
Hmm. Holiness is a commandment.
It's a commandment. I want you to take note of that.
Hmm. Yes, sir.
And did we read verse 45 of Leviticus chapter 11?
Leviticus 11, verse 45.
Yes.
It says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt, uh-huh, to be your God.
Yes.
Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy.
He emphasized it again. Ye shall therefore be
holy.
Holy, for I am holy. Holy. So, what is holiness? The first thing is, it is a commandment to be kept, hmm, by God himself. Hmm. And it is a law for relationship with God. Hmm. Also, what is holiness by definition now? It's separation. Hmm. Separation from uncleanness to cleanness. Hmm. What is holiness? It's being set apart for God's use. That is another word for consecration.
Okay.
A consecrated life is a holy life. Consecration is setting apart yourself, separating yourself, setting yourself apart for God's use. That is why Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
You see?
Holy, uh-huh, acceptable unto God, uh-huh, which is your reasonable service.
Now, it has to be acceptable unto God. Mm. You know, it has to, you don't come by your terms. When you say acceptable unto God, that means he has set the standard.
Amen.
For which you are to present yourself. That living sacrifice, that is setting aside total offering unto God. And when you are coming before God's presence, for you to meet with him, that's why he said, without holiness, you cannot see God.
See God.
So you see, if we take an example of Jacob in Genesis chapter 35, the first five verses there, for instance.
Yes, sir. Genesis 35.
Yes.
And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleedest from the face of Esau thy brother. Uh-huh. Then Jacob said unto his household,
they are to go and do what? Offer a sacrifice unto God. Mm.
Uh-huh. Then Jacob said unto his household,
you, before you go and that offering also will be acceptable, there is a condition, a state that you are supposed to be in. Mm. That state is called holiness.
Amen.
What did he say?
Put away thy strange gods, the strange gods that are among you.
There are things you must put away.
And be clean and change your garments.
And yes, and see among the things that will make you clean is what?
And let us arise and go up to Bethel. Yes. And I'll make thee an altar unto God.
Yes.
Who answered me in the day of my distress. Now, and was with me in the way which I went.
Now verse 4.
And they gave unto Jacob.
Now these are the things that when you give away, you become clean before God.
Hey.
You see, you must give some things away. What did they give?
And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which are in their hands, uh-huh, and all their earrings, uh-huh, which were in their ears.
Now, take note that all the strange gods, that is, anything strange, it means it is alien. Mm. Alien to the culture, or alien to the religion, alien to the faith. Mm. It's strange.
Amen.
Don't bring it, including strange fires.
Yes, sir.
There is a strange altar with a strange fire. Mm. They are alien to the worship of the God of Israel, which Jacob had relationship with. So I want, you know, you just have to take note of it about separation.
Amen.
So you see something here, even in tithes. Now, there's a way he described tithe in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30.
And all the tithes of the land,
uh-huh.
whether of the seed of the land
uh-huh.
or of the fruit of the tree,
uh-huh.
is the Lord's.
What did he say?
It is only unto the Lord.
Because it is set apart for God.
Mm.
Anything that is set apart for God is
holy.
Holy. That is why in Proverbs 20, verse 25, all of you that don't pay tithe, listen.
Proverbs 20:25. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy.
Again.
It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy.
Uh-huh.
And after vows to make
inquiry. It's a snare if you devour that which is holy. And if tithe is holy unto the Lord and you devour it, it's a snare. You enter trouble. Well, I'm not teaching tithe. I'm only trying to say how does, you know, it is a holy thing because it is set apart unto God. Even days, Nehemiah chapter 8, for instance, verse 9, 10, and 11. See the way he put it there.
Nehemiah 8,
yes.
verse 9, 10, 11.
Yes.
And Nehemiah, verse 9, which is the Tashata, and Ezra the priest described, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God.
You see?
Mourn not, uh-huh. nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law.
Uh-huh.
Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared.
Uh-huh.
For this day is only unto our Lord.
Uh-huh.
Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Uh-huh.
So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved.
That is a day that is set apart for God, dedicated to the Lord. The same thing, Sabbath day was a holy day under the law.
Was. I heard you, sir.
Was a holy day unto the Lord.
Hmm.
And that day was set apart.
Amen.
You know, strictly for God. Even now, come to the church. You see, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to verse 23. Here, catch what he's saying there.
But in a great house.
And that great house is the church.
There are not only vessels of gold and of silver,
uh-huh.
but also of wood and of earth,
uh-huh.
and some to honor,
uh-huh.
and some to dishonor.
So you can see in the church, there is not every Christian that is unto honor. It's not everybody that say, cry, even with the anointing. Matthew 7 says so.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go on.
If a man therefore purge himself.
Now, this is where we are going. You see, now you purge yourself. From what?
From these.
From these. Uh-huh.
It shall be a vessel unto honor.
There are things you have to purge yourself in the earlier verses. It mentioned the things you purge yourself. Mm. You'll be what?
A vessel unto honor.
Vessel unto. That is holiness without which you cannot see God. A relationship with God exists only when you purge yourself of strange things.
Mm.
And you set apart yourself. For the master's use. Go ahead, read
sanctified.
It. Sanctified.
And meet for the master's use.
Suitable now for the master's use.
And prepared unto every good work.
Okay. Go on.
Flee also youthful lusts.
These are the things you have to put away.
But follow righteousness,
uh-huh.
faith,
uh-huh.
charity,
uh-huh.
peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure
heart. And verse 23.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife.
That is why also Isaiah 52 verse 11. What did he say?
Isaiah 52, 11.
Yes.
It says, Depart ye, go ye out from thence.
Uh-huh.
Touch no unclean thing.
Uh-huh.
Go ye out of the midst of earth.
Again. Do what?
Touch no unclean thing.
Uh-huh.
Go ye out of the midst of earth.
Out of uncleanness.
Be ye clean.
That bear the vessels of the Lord.
Mm.
That is those who serve in the temple. And remember that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. What did it describe us?
1 Peter 2, 9.
Yes.
But ye are a chosen generation.
We are a chosen generation.
A royal priesthood.
We are choosing to serve God in the office of priests.
Mm.
And they that bear the vessels of the Lord.
Of course,
where do you bear it? It's in the temple.
Hallelujah.
He said, what did he say? Touch not
the unclean thing.
That is, be holy.
Amen.
Go on, finish reading that scripture, please.
A royal priesthood.
Yes.
An holy nation.
A holy nation. We are a holy nation.
A peculiar
people. We are peculiar people.
Mm.
What are we to do?
That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, now. Mm. So, if we are a peculiar people, we are a royal priesthood, then you will now see why God begins to tell his people, even in the wilderness, how they should behave, how they should dress, how he said, don't let a man not put that will pertain to a woman, let a woman not put that will pertain to a man, how that you should not put tattoo on your skin, how that you should not, you know, do like the heathens do. So, set apart is holiness. That's what my emphasis is.
Okay, sir. So, from your explanation, sir, or even your exhortation, if I may call it that, you mean your dressing, your speech, your actions, they all constitute holiness.
They define, you know, your peculiarity.
They define
your peculiarity, because we are peculiar people. And if we're a royal priesthood, even in the Old Testament, there was an appearance that the priests were supposed to appear. Their dresses were even defined. You cannot dress like people who are not priests with God. Because you are going to walk with God. And in this case, he even dwells in us. Not even buildings built by man anymore, by hand anymore. He now dwells in us. So there is, if you are moving, you are a moving temple of God. And there is an appearance you are supposed to put on. Remember that, is it Tamar? And is it Judah?
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 38.
Genesis 38.
Yeah, from verse 13.
Okay. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her.
Because we know what brought about that.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And she put her widow's garment off from her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place.
No, again.
And she put her widow's garment off from her.
So that means if you're a widow, there is an appearance that everybody that sees you, we know that this is a widow. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So that is why it is for identification. When we see you like this, we know that you are a widow. Then go on.
And covered her with a veil.
Now then, substituted her with a veil.
And wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be an harlot, because she had covered her face.
Because what?
She had covered her face.
Go on.
And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what would thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me?
So what attracted him to her?
Her appearance.
Her appearance. That is how prostitutes dress.
Yeah, attire of an harlot.
The attire of an harlot.
Yes, sir.
She dresses to attract customers.
As in Proverbs 7 verse 10.
Go ahead.
And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of art.
Okay, now. So you have to take note of that.
So our conduct, our speech and actions, they define holiness.
The Bible says we are ambassadors.
Yes, sir.
And every ambassador of every country, watch it. When it is time for them to appear on all functions, they appear on their national dresses. So that when you see this man, you know this is an Indian. When you see this one, you know this is a Westerner, you know, European. When you see, what do you call it, Chinese, you know this one is Chinese. When you see Africa, you know we have every country has an identity. I wore a cloth one time to preach. Everybody was saying, are you a Ghanaian? Because I was wearing a Ghanaian national cloth. I wore another one that one time that was a Cameroon and national colors. And everybody said, this is Cameroon. And we too, as Christians, for your dressing, appearance, people should know you're a Christian. Because we represent something. And our appearance must speak, you know, it must speak. Our appearance must speak of Amen. Where we come from.
Amen. How do you now bring in this scripture? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Read it again.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Now, before you read verse 30, read verse 24.
Verse 24, okay. Yes. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of
God. Who is he?
The power of God.
The power of God and the wisdom, and the of, wisdom God. Of God. Go to verse 30.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Everything comes from him. The ability to have the wisdom. The wisdom. Wisdom here is knowledge. Wisdom and what?
Righteousness.
Righteousness.
And sanctification.
And sanctification comes by him. Mm. That is why in verse 4 of Romans chapter 10.
Romans 10, 4.
Yes.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness.
For righteousness.
To everyone that believeth.
Because he is, our righteousness is in him. Why? Because he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, he is everything. Everything is of Christ. That is, it is made possible through Christ. How? The power that is in the blood. The power, the new covenant is the power that is released through Christ that enable us to live a life pleasing before him by the working of the Spirit that dwelleth in us, and the Spirit of Christ. That is exactly what that scripture means.
Because some made this to mean that holiness is positional and not in reality, not actual.
Yes.
It's just positional.
Yeah, it is. Yes, because except you come in, it is your position that enables God to work on you and make you have a life that is pleasing before you. That is why Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13.
Philippians 2:13.
Yes.
It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good
it
pleasure.
It is God which worketh in you. In you. And both
to will
and to do of his good pleasure. Now in Acts chapter 1 verse 8.
But ye shall receive power.
Now,
after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come before upon you. And then ye shall be witnesses.
Yes, sir.
Unto him. Now, witnesses of what? Now, that ye shall receive power. One of the things that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, that is when you receive the power of transformation. When Apostle Paul said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When he speaks like that, this is when it's only attainable when you receive the
power.
Baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is why in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12.
He came unto his own.
He came to his own.
And his own received him
his
not.
His own received him not.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
What is the power to become a son of God? It's the power that transforms a sinner to a saint.
So you are saying holiness is also.
And that is why, it is positioning. Because except you are in Christ, whatever thing you do, would just be morality. It is self-righteousness. It has to be something that is enabled by the indwelling Spirit of God.
Okay, let me add to that question. Maybe we can shed more light on this.
Yes.
So, sir, if it is positional, is it instantaneous when we believe, or is it a subsequent process another experience after we have believed.
No, you grow in it.
You grow in holiness.
You grow in holiness because we are talking about enablement. When you are born again, the Bible speaks about newborn babies desiring the sincere milk of the word of God. Now, your knowledge of God determines how you relate with him. Mm. You see, you cannot relate with God beyond who you know him to be. Mm. And you don't know God, everything about God, the same day that you receive the Holy Ghost. Mm. He will now lead you.
Okay.
So it is something you grow. Mm. And the more you know God, the more you know how to walk with him, the better your relationship is, the easier it becomes for you to submit yourself to him and live a life acceptable to him. The more you know him, the more you see the need, the more you draw away from the world, because the closer you also get to him, and that is the consecration, and that is the holiness.
Mm. Okay. All right, sir. Let's take a short break to drink all the wine you've given to us and to come back to ask you more. So we'll be right back.
Because the statue of perfection.
Yes, sir.
That is the perfection.
Amen.
You know, and it can compass us all. He said, be ye perfect. Even for your Heavenly Father is perfect. So, but you grow in it.
Amen.
You add to your faith virtue. Mm. You add to your virtue knowledge. Mm. You add. You grow until you now get matured.
Hallelujah.
Into the stature of Christ. Remember, we are, our destiny is to be conformed to the image of his Son. And if the first branch is holy, anyone,
yes, sir,
the one that comes after him
must be holy.
Must also be holy.
Hallelujah.
That
Amen.
Is, you know, and that is where you have the mystery of salvation. Mm. Apostle Paul put it in verse 24 of Romans chapter 11. Before we take our break, please allow me to land.
For if thou were caught out of the olive tree.
How did he put it?
For if thou were caught out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be graft into their own olive tree?
Now, this is the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles. Mm. In the earlier verses, from verse 1, let me just explain this first.
I say then, as God cast away his people, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. Uh-huh. Wot ye not what the scripture said of Elias, I will make it intercession to God against Israel.
No, sorry, before we come there, go to Ephesians chapter 3. I mean, before we come back to where we are reading in Romans.
Ephesians 3.
Yes.
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery.
The mystery.
As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets.
And we are reading. Ephesians chapter 3.
Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ.
And he calls this salvation of the Gentile, what did he call it? A mystery.
A mystery, yes, sir.
Why is it a mystery? That is what Apostle Paul was also explaining in Romans chapter 11. Why is it mysterious? Why is it mysterious? Because this is what he said from verse 13.
Romans 11 from 13. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office.
Yes.
If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, I might save some of them.
Thank you.
For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world.
Casting away of Israel is the reconciling of the world.
What shall the receiving of them be?
Oh my.
Life from the dead.
Now, go
for
ahead.
If the first fruit be holy.
If the first fruit, and the first fruit is Israel. Is holy.
The lump is also holy.
The lump certainly is also holy.
And if the root be holy, so are the branches.
If the root that is giving them life is holy, oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So will the branches also be.
And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafting among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree.
Hey! I beg verse 17 again.
And if some of the branches be broken off, and
some of the branches of that tree, the olive tree is broken off.
And thou, being a wild olive tree.
You are also olive because it is religion. But very wild. They were serving God in diverse manner without knowing the true way of worshiping. But wild, you are grafted in.
Among them.
Among them. Where Israel was sucking life from. Gentile, wild one, they also came in. What happens?
And with them, partakers of the roots and fatness of the leaf.
You are now partaking of the same thing that the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob covenant. You are now partaking of it through the cross, that the blessings of Abraham may also come to the Gentiles. It's a mystery.
Boast not against the branches.
Yes.
But if thou boast, thou bearest not the roots.
Now go to verse 24.
For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were graft contrary to nature.
This is where the mystery of the salvation of Gentile is. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
What is the mystery? The mystery of the salvation of Gentile is that they were grafted contrary to nature.
Into a good olive tree.
Into a good olive tree. Now, so, and I think I've tried to explain in some of my sermons before. If it is grafted contrary to nature, then what is the natural grafting?
Amen.
That makes their own contrary to nature. Then you'll understand the mystery of salvation. Do I have time to explain
this? Please, sir.
Thank you. Now, what is grafting in botany? You know, it is discovered and it is practiced that one tree can, a citrus tree, for instance, can another citrus tree of the same family of citrus, you can pick a branch of another tree and come and, that is what William Branham used as an example to preach the sermon he titled, The Anointed Ones at the End Time. Okay. Now, but going further, borrowing from there, we go further in that revelation to understand the mystery of the salvation of Gentiles, not just the mystery of the operation of the gifts, which was what William Branham was emphasizing on. You know, you are operating with a genuine gift, but a false vessel. By their fruit, you know them. Okay, so now, but what I'm looking at here is that is what is the natural way
of grafting?
Of grafting, and if the Gentile are the wild olive
tree, yeah,
yes. Now, the natural way of grafting is that when you bring this branch, you scrape a part of the trunk and gum it there. There is the working of a power within that tree.
Hallelujah.
Listen,
that branch becomes
a parasite branch, sucking all nourishment from the main tree that also has her branches. This one is also grafted there. But the natural thing is that when it is time to bear fruit, this one that was grafted will not bear the fruit of where of the trunk it is grafted in,
of the host,
the primary host, the host tree.
Yes, sir.
It will bear the fruit of where it came from.
That's the natural way.
That is the natural way. But receive all its power from the mother tree.
Hallelujah.
Well, I see the parasite, what do you call
the host.
It? The host tree. Yes, thank sir. You. That is natural. So you can see a tree with
different branches,
which makes me remember a parable the Lord Jesus Christ made about the kingdom of heaven that is a tree that, will I get it?
The grain of mustard?
Yes.
Matthew 13, 31.
It's Matthew 13. God bless you.
Another
read it.
Another parable put it forth unto
listen
them,
very well.
Saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed,
yes,
which a man took and sowed in his field.
Now,
which indeed is the least of all seeds.
Yes.
But when it is grown, it is the greatest among us,
And becometh a tree,
so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof.
So you can see. So you can see now, naturally in botany, that they can a tree could have many branches
bearing
different fruits, all of them parasitically feeding from the host tree. That is natural.
Hallelujah.
But what is mysterious, verse 24 of Romans chapter 11.
If thou were caught out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature.
And grafted.
And were grafted contrary
it's
to nature.
It's not contrary.
Into a good olive
that
tree.
Is the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles. Now, when you come and gum them here, gum it, graft it into the host tree of the God of Israel.
Amen.
There is the working of a power inside.
Hallelujah.
That instead of bringing forth fruit of where you came from, you are bearing the fruit of this host tree. That is the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles.
Hallelujah.
That is the mystery of redemption. We must catch this to be able to understand the composition of the church of Jesus
Christ. Amen.
You must be holy.
Hallelujah. Wow, sir, would you permit us to digest this wine? Salvation of the Gentiles, graft contrary to nature. Let's take a quick break, and when we'll come back, we'll receive more revelation from the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.